Welcome to the Dairobi Health Show, covering the world of fitness, nutrition, and supplementation with world-class guests, the latest clinical research, and plenty of tips you can use right away to boost your health and wellness. Here's your host, Dave Sherwin.
Welcome to the Dairobi Health Show. Today I'm talking about how to conquer cravings using 3,000-year-old wisdom. And surprisingly, the things we'll be talking about today do not involve a massive internal struggle or trying to develop more willpower or develop more mental strength. It's all about mindfulness. We'll be talking about overcoming food cravings, and not the symptoms of food cravings, but the source of food cravings, and research that has been done on these methods that shows that people can make significant improvements in their health and lose weight through addressing the cause of the cravings. Now, first of all, let's talk about what a food craving is. A food craving, or also called selective hunger, is an intense desire to consume a specific food and is different from normal hunger. There are all kinds of useful techniques for curbing cravings. If you do a Google search, you'll find things like eat a protein when you're hungry instead of carbs, and drink plenty of water, get plenty of sleep, chew gum. And these are all excellent techniques. But what's interesting about the research we're presenting today is this is more principle-based. Techniques are useful, but it is better to deal with principles and the underlying causes of problems. And that's what I've been researching and will present today. So I started off by reading The Craving Mind by Judson Brewer. If you haven't heard of it, it is an excellent book. I do recommend it. And that link and all other links referenced in this episode will be on our blog at dairobi.com, D-I-R-O-B-I.com, episode 55, and everything I reference will be there. So, The Craving Mind by Judson Brewer. Now, if you haven't heard of him, he has an excellent TED Talk. We'll put that on the blog post. He's an associate professor at the Departments of Medicine and Psychiatry at the University of Massachusetts Medical School. He's also an adjunct assistant professor in the Department of Psychiatry at Yale, and he's a research affiliate at the Department of Brain and Cognitive Sciences at MIT. In other words, he is no dummy. He is also the director of research at the Center for Mindfulness. His TED Talk is titled, A Simple Way to Break a Bad Habit. And this has been the realm of his psychiatric research for a very long time. It started with smokers and helping people overcome smoking through mindfulness. And then it's grown. He has addressed anxiety. And then the app that I'll be referring to today is in regards to overcoming cravings. And so those are the three apps that he has created out of his work. The app for overcoming cravings is called Eat Right Now. And I've got that app and been using it as well. So the book, The Craving Mind, is what I started with. And then I've been using the app. And let's talk about the basics of that and how it all works. And in this episode, I will be going through some step-by-step and points that you can use to implement this. But I do recommend that you do your own kind of deep dive, either at least watch the TED Talk or read the book or do the app. And you probably don't have to do all of this, but this podcast will point you in the right direction and give you some actionable stuff you can do right away. But I do recommend you go ahead and look at the links and resources as well, because this isn't the kind of thing you just want to, you know, listen to one podcast and then your whole life will be changed. This is more designed to kind of point you in the right direction, to start you on the path of implementing these things into your life, which will take some time, but it's enjoyable. It's easy stuff to do, and as I mentioned, it's not difficult. It's fascinating. What you actually do to implement these principles of mindfulness, and yet how powerful they can be. So the first thing I think you have to understand to get to the bottom of this research that Dr. Brewer has done is you got to understand what the default mode network is, or the DMF. In neuroscience, the default mode network is a large-scale brain network of interacting brain regions that have highly correlated activity. It's most commonly shown to be active when a person is not focused on the outside world, and the brain is at what neuroscientists call wakeful rest, where when we tend to just daydream or our mind wanders. And the fact is, for almost all of us, it's really hard to pay attention to things. About 50% of us will drift off mentally, even while listening to a talk or watching something short that we're interested in. We can suddenly just get distracted. Next thing you know, we're thinking about a movie or an argument we had with somebody or something that we're worried about. These things are natural and normal and happen to everybody and can happen just like that. That default mode network can kick in, distracting us from whatever it is we're doing. The problem with that, of course, if it happens while we're eating, if we got a bag of chips in front of us and we go into that default mode network, next thing you know, we've eaten the whole bag of chips and we haven't even given it a second thought. We become unmindful, and in an unmindful state, that is where we're most likely to binge eat, eat the wrong things, eat too much of the wrong things. It all goes back to the positive and negative reinforcement development of the brain. It's about the reward center of the brain. So anciently, our ancestors would see food, eat the food, feel good, and repeat. And go, hey, that food is good. Let's, you know, remember where it is. And next time, let's eat more of that because it makes us feel good. But at some point, being sentient beings that we are, that trigger behavior reward process changed. We noticed that eating food makes us feel good. And so then the cycle became, hey, I feel bad. When I ate food, it made me feel better. And so feel bad, eat food, and feel better, hopefully. But as we all know, it doesn't really work. When that trigger changed and we started eating not because we're hungry, but because we felt bad, that's when many health challenges were introduced into our lives since the hunter-gatherer phase of existence, right? Okay, so mindfulness training as a solution. Mindfulness training has proven to be twice as good at helping people quit smoking than the gold standard therapy that has been used for a very long time. When smokers were instructed that they get to continue smoking, but they simply have to be very, very mindful while they smoked, many of them were able to stop smoking just from smoking in a completely mindful manner. Many people noticed for the first time, wow, this doesn't taste that great, and I don't feel very good when I do it. And by bringing that awareness to their body and not smoking unmindfully as they had been for years, they were able to quit very naturally because they were able to bring that mind-body awareness back into focus and to get in sync where their mind and their body realize, hey, this is not a good habit. And they were able to naturally break that reward cycle. Now, they were also taught to be curiously aware. Curiosity is naturally rewarding to the brain. So they're taught to be curiously aware while they were smoking. So the problem is that our prefrontal cortex, where we do most of our higher level thinking, is the first thing to get shut off when we're unhappy, under anxiety, or stress. And so back to me and my personal challenges. You know, I wake up in the morning feeling great. I have no desire to have bad food. I make it through most of the day doing just fine and eating a healthy diet and exercising and whatnot. And many of you probably feel the same way. But once we get tired or once we just want to kind of turn off mentally, once we do, then the lower regions of our brain is what's operating and driving our decisions. And that's when we're most likely to make bad choices. Or earlier in the day, if we're, you know, under anxiety, stress, or going through problems, whatever. So mindfulness is about getting curiously interested in and turning towards our experience rather than fighting our experience. Getting curious about ourselves and our body and about our cravings. And when we get curious, we notice what the cravings are made up of and that they're simple sensations in our body that come and go. And just by curiously observing our hunger or cravings or desires, oftentimes they become much weaker and we're much less likely to completely mindfully eat the whole bag of chips because we're there, we're with it, and we're noticing, hey, wait, I don't feel good. And wow, this feels like a rock in my stomach and maybe I should stop. Well, before we get to the bottom of it. So The other thing about curiosity and curiously being aware of our cravings or whatever negative temptation we're going through is it forces us out of any of those primal states. And curiosity comes from our prefrontal cortex. So by making ourselves curious about whatever behavior we're doing and just simply observing it, we are engaging our higher levels of thinking. We're at our best and least likely to break down and eat too much of that bad food. The default mode network quiets down during mindfulness training. And so mindfulness training is the basis of this whole principle that we're and ideas that we're talking about. But what they have found is that the default mode network quiets down not just when the person's being mindful, but that people who implement mindfulness as a habit on a regular basis develop higher level of control at all times. So then the cycle becomes notice the urge, get curious, feel the joy of letting go, and then repeat. Now, another part of the problem that we all deal with is a disconnect between our minds and our bodies. Sometimes it's not our body that's craving the food. It's our mind. It's a comfort food, right? We all know about this issue of, you know, comfort food and eating because we feel like it. And where does that feeling come from? Often not from our stomach. It's coming from our emotions. And by simply improving the connection between mind and body, we can make a huge difference. Now, in the app that I've been using, there are meditations designed to help you get more mindful and in tune with your body. And one of the things that you learn about on day 4 of that training, Eat Right Now, is to do a full body scan. Now, this is something you can do. You don't have to buy the app to do it. It's a simple principle, and it's a form of meditation. And what you do is you simply sit in a comfortable position, close your eyes, and simply do a body scan. And you might start with your left pinky, okay? And when you simply just sit there and become aware and focus your attention, go, what am I feeling in my left pinky? And you might be thinking, well, I don't feel anything in my left pinky. I mean, I never notice my left pinky unless I smash it into a coffee table. Well, that's not true. If you sit mindfully and you just meditate on it, you'll notice there's some kind of a sensation. And you can actually go toe by toe and just note what it is. You're not trying to change it. You're simply just trying to be aware of what the feeling is. And then you move up your foot a little bit. How does it feel on the top of your foot? How does it feel under your arch? And what about your heel and your ankle and your lower leg? And you slowly do the scan, just kind of sitting with it, just feeling it, noticing it, not trying to change anything. And then up your calf and your knee, all the way up your leg, and then you do the other leg. All the toes, all the way up the foot, the leg, the knee, and then all the way to your hips. And now you just do the same thing. From your hips on up into your stomach, how does your stomach feel? How does your lower back feel? And carefully go all the way up your body. This should take 5 to 10 minutes. You're not rushing this. You just take your time. And this is a really interesting thing to do. One of the things that they point out is that the first time I did this, although the instruction didn't say anything about relaxing, when I was done, I was totally relaxed. Well, as a matter of fact, the first time I did this, I just felt completely asleep. I had a phenomenal nap, okay? I had to go back and play it again because I missed like the last half of his guided instruction. But interestingly, he says at the end, hey, how do you feel? Do you feel relaxed? And the answer is, yeah, totally relaxed. I fell asleep. And the interesting thing is that just by scanning your body, a lot of the tension will leave your body naturally. So a full body scan is a very interesting way to get your mind-body connection to be more in sync, right? To be a little less mindless and more mindful. And so that is the type of thinking, the type of thing that we're working on here to get to the source of these cravings is a better mind-body connection, more mindfulness generally, less time in our default mode network, more mindfulness while we're eating our food. So here's 8 things you could do right now that could help you implement these principles into your life. Number 1 is to add a mindfulness practice to your daily routine. It doesn't have to be a fancy thing where you buy incense and you get a meditating pillow and you create a little corner or any of that stuff. You simply have to stop, sit, and observe your breathing for 5 to 10 minutes. If that's all you did, that would actually be valuable. You can also get an app. This is number two. So number one is simply add a mindful practice, however that works for you. It could be part of your spiritual tradition. It could be meditating very formally. Whatever it is for you, it could be simply observing your breathing for 5 to 10 minutes at increments throughout the day. So that's number one. Number two tip would be buy an app like Headspace and do guided meditations. It's inexpensive, and studies have shown that it will make a difference in your mental and physical health. There are several out there. I actually have one for golf. I'm a golfer. I've probably mentioned that before on the podcast. And I literally have a golf app with meditations to help me be a better golfer. And I'm sure there's ones for whatever your sport or interest is. So you may even want to do that and get meditations that will specifically help you in a certain area of your life. Tip number three is to go ahead and buy the book or audio version of The Craving Mind and read it. It's a phenomenal book. It's based on 20 years of research by one of the best and brightest psychiatrists in our country, and so I highly recommend it. Number four is get the app Eat Right Now, and I have it. I'm using it. There are daily trainings in it. It's a big app. There's a lot to it. The first few weeks of it are free. And then after that, if you want to carry on, there is a upgrade you can get to have ongoing, regular training to help you. And I think it lasts a year. I don't know. You have to do. I'm not a year into it, so I can't tell you how it looks taking it long term. I've only been doing it a couple of weeks myself, but I'm loving it. I do recommend it. Number five, eat all food, but especially unhealthy foods, as mindfully as possible by really being with it and trying to recognize when that default mode network turns on and then turn that back off while you're eating. That one habit alone will help you to eat less junk food. And if you are going to eat the junk food, do it very, very mindfully, slowly, and you'll find you'll naturally eat less of it and be less likely to binge eat. Number six, generate the habit of analyzing your cravings in an intellectually curious way. Just observing them reduces their power over you. Just sitting with them non-judgmentally and just watching what the craving feels like. Where is it coming from? And trying to just be with it. And you'll find that many times by simply analyzing it, it shrinks in power and intensity. Number seven, do a full body scan on a regular basis as part of your meditative practice. And number eight, listen to the Secular Buddhism podcast by Noah Rashetta. As I mentioned, he has been a guest on this show. His podcast has about 70 episodes, and it is phenomenal. It will not conflict with your existing faith, tradition, or religion. It is really the secular and psychological side of Buddhism. It's the wisdom of Buddhism without the theology, so that you don't have to feel like you're being a cheater or traitor to your existing religion by listening to it. So no matter what your background, I recommend it. It is very grounding in nature, and it is based on simple wisdom and truths that are very ancient, and couldn't recommend it highly enough. And we'll put a link to that also in the show notes. So there you have it. And of course, being a supplement guy, I can't help putting in a plug for two of our products that help with cravings. Both our Pounds and Inches drops, which is our rapid weight loss drop designed to lose weight quickly, or our new product, Mimi's Miracle Multi, both of them contain 1,000 milligrams of chromium GTF, which has clinical studies showing it helps with appetite suppression. As a matter of fact, the clinical studies showed chromium GTF, when taken at the dose of 1,000 milligrams a day, aids not only with weight loss, but blood sugar management and lower cholesterol. So make sure and check those out as well from the physical side to help with cravings. Those are two products that would help you out. And you can learn more about them at dirobi.com. That's dirobi.com. Make sure and check out the show notes for this episode, episode 55, on the blog at dirobi.com for links to the TED Talk, the book, and the apps mentioned in the episode. And until next time, this is Dave Sherwin wishing you health and success.
Thanks for listening to the Dairobi Health Show. Make sure and check Dairobi.com for a free copy of Dave's excellent health book, Formula 7, and enter to win in our free Bottle Friday contest. If you're enjoying the show, leave your review on iTunes. See you next time.